Welkom terug saam met my Michelle en my Casey at work. Dis nou so 9:35. Ek gaan so 'n bietjie oorskakel na Engels toe. Ek is bly jy's net al waar jy is by die werk, by jou huis in jou motor, sit daai volume nou ekstra harder. As we step into June, Corporate Wellness Month in South Africa, it's the perfect time to shine a spotlight on one of the most overlooked pillars of performance, both in the workplace and on the sports field, nutrition. So whether you're preparing for your next race, working in high-pressure corporate environments, or guiding youth athletes through major competitions like the Craven Week, the way we feel our bodies matters much more than we think. So joining us today in studio is someone who knows exactly how nutrition drives performance from elite athletes to everyday professionals. She's a registered dietitian, high performance nutrition expert, and a trusted voice in wellness circles. Zeenat Simji, welcome this morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Michelle, for having me today on the show.
It's an honor to have you here. Before we start with the questions, tell the listeners out there who doesn't know this morning, who is sitting here with me, a little bit more about yourself and how did you end up here where you are today?
So I am a registered dietitian and a lot of people do know me from the rugby space. I've worked for the past almost 6 years in national rugby, so with SA Rugby, and I've recently transitioned in career so that I could be more accessible to the broader public and to those that are active individuals that want to know their bodies better and get the best out of themselves to live their full potential. I really started dietetics over 10 years ago. Sure. I qualified 2013 and then eventually I ended up in sports nutrition. I did a postgraduate and of course, you know, along the way, worked in corporate, I worked in private practice, worked in government, obviously, and eventually in sports industry. But recently, I've transitioned to sports nutrition specifically and corporate wellness in the private space. So that's just a little bit about me, Michelle.
Okay, now June is Corporate Wellness Month in South Africa. So why do you think nutrition is often overlooked in corporate wellness programs and how can we bring it to the forefront?
I think with corporate wellness, the key focus is well-being of employees. And companies that are progressive, forward-thinking, they do recognize the importance of employee wellness. Mm. And it has improved over the years in terms of, you know, mental health in the workplace, stress management, and a lot of the time, the focus is more around we want employees to be healthier and to manage their day-to-day life in the workspace as well, because it can be demanding. But oftentimes, nutrition is overlooked because we're so focused on the stress management and the mental health component, we forget that nutrition has this powerful role that what you choose to fuel yourself with, or what you choose to eat or hydrate with, that is really the foundations of what your body will, you know, what the outcomes would be. So if you're a person that is in a high pressure environment, oftentimes, you know, many people skip meals, they don't, you know, they overload on caffeine, they get so much of stress that sometimes they have poor sleeping habits and poor sleep hygiene. So nutrition actually can play a role in so many of those areas. And it is a complement to the mental health support. It's a complement onto stress management. And it's something that, you know, some companies will have a complete setup where they would have a dietitian, they would have, you know, a wellness partner. Sometimes a lot of the time it's Discovery that will come through. So there are some companies that do have it, but I also think that there's a huge gap in the current space right now when it comes to nutrition and corporate wellness.
So from a performance perspective, how does workplace nutrition compare to sports nutrition? And what can corporate employees learn from how athletes feel themselves?
You know, with athletes, it's a learning process. We introduce them to the foundations and individualize it and build on that. And it's the very same thing with corporate. With athletes, you have to consider the sport-specific role and what the demands are and also fuel to get the best out of their performance. It's fueling to do the work you want to do. And in the corporate space, or not just the corporate space, a regular workplace, you should have the same sort of mentality, is that building the foundations is so important before you layer on individualized support. And those habits can be sustainable and give results even beyond maybe just a individualized approach. But a lot of the time people will enter into a work day not having had sufficient nutrition. Maybe they are in a rush, and the first thing they do is they get a cup of coffee, for example. They displace their nutrition because now they've had coffee, and the caffeine takes away their appetite. And oftentimes they maybe have their first meal perhaps at lunch, and or if they're back to back in meetings, they forget it. Whereas with athletes, sometimes it can happen as well, and it's a learned behavior where we teach them to adapt and adjust. And I think there are a lot of things in, you know, whether it be amateur, professional, you know, elite sport, that those same principles can be adapted into workplace, because a lot of work environments are high pressure and sport is high pressure. So I think the foundations are really important, and building onto that and understanding that your body is ever changing based on the environments and your age and circumstance, and knowing what to give your body to get the best out of your body so that you can adapt and be resilient is really important. And many people don't take the time to actually seek out the proper information on what do I need to do, and from the right individual that can guide them through that.
Zenith, you've worked with high-performance athletes, with ball schools preparing for Craven Week. What role does nutrition play in preparing young athletes for peak performance and recovery?
I think in developing athletes, nutrition is paramount, and it's often overlooked. I've spent a greater part of last year working with developing athletes, and especially, you know, under-18s, and I learned then that a lot of our kids in this day and age have so much access to nutrition via social media, but not often the right individual to support them with the best evidence-based information. There's a lot of noise on social media. There's a lot of people who have their own experiences and try to push that onto other people, but it may not be the best for a young athlete. A lot of young kids, the first thing they think when they want to be fitter, stronger, faster, the immediate thought is to get supplements. And a lot of the time, sometimes those pressures to become bigger and more muscle and to perhaps be better in their sport comes from the voices that they hear around them, maybe their coaches or their strength and conditioning coaches. It can even come from the pressures of peers or their role models, because they see this developed athlete looking a certain way and thinking, I need to get there right now, forgetting that whether you are a 15-year-old boy or 16-year-old boy, your body is going to change. And these are the formative years when you understand the foundations and what to give your body and the choices, the habits. It really comes down to a mindset change of knowing that if I do what's best for my body right now and build on that, by the time that you are at perhaps 18, 19, it's a huge difference. But getting started already now makes a massive impact, because I've worked with athletes that became professional, never had any nutrition exposure at all. And to bring them up to speed on the level of an elite athlete when they don't have the foundations, and also to correct misperceptions, it takes a very long time. Whereas when you're young and you choose to go that route, it becomes a lot more manageable. And a lot of the habits that you adopt, they become second nature. So you don't have to think too much about your nutrition. You don't have to decide a lot, because you've gently gone into it from your younger years. And I also believe that it's at this stage in a child's development that they can really capitalize on building muscle mass in a healthy way, changing their body composition to benefit them in an approach that is going to give them longevity. So it is important, and firstly and foremost, to understand where you get your nutrition from. What really does foods comprise of? Because we overlook simple things like a kid should actually not, under the age of 18, they should actually not be having supplements. And that's a big, you know, whenever I say that at schools, people get like up in arms because it's become such a norm, but it's actually not what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. And instead of empowering our young children to understand food and the power behind food, reading labels, knowing how much daily protein, how much carbohydrates, sports specific, they should be having, the individual fluids and the nutrition guidelines for their individual sports, immediately the thought goes to they need to get a supplement. But there are so many other nutrients that they're missing out on. And I think that's where the parents' role is really important. And I actually get to work with some incredible developing young athletes, even now, where their parents are quite involved. Mm. And oftentimes they will reach out and say, my kid is in courses and they just don't know what to have. Or sometimes they don't like the meals that are put out, so they choose not to eat. And there are so many things that parents also don't know about that the kid will share, and it's things like, oh, I've been spending all my money on Uber Eats, for example, because I just want to fill, and they don't understand the concept of fueling instead of just filling. It's eating for, you know, the improvement and the benefit behind it, and not just eating to fill your stomach, because you're also at that age where your appetite is so large, your body's trying to tell you that I actually need more energy because I'm growing and I'm developing in stature, in body composition. There are other functions that my body needs to handle, and you are now putting on an extra energy expenditure that is sport. Yeah. And so they don't really know that your priority is to give your body the right nutrition to first and foremost develop and mature, and thereafter also assist in performance so that you can be stronger, that you can perform better, you can recover and adapt so much quicker so that you can take on more and get even better.
The 28th of June marks 16 weeks to the Cape Town Marathon. So what would your key advice be for the runners who want to use this milestone to improve their nutrition strategy?
I think, you know, with Cape Town Marathon being something that's very exciting, it is really important for individuals to understand that especially our runners, they get exposed to perhaps gels. They get exposed to things like your caffeine and sometimes beta-alanine, beetroot, you know, a lot of these supplements, but they don't really have, again, it comes down to the foundations, the understanding of it's not just about those supplements. It's really about what am I doing in training that is preparing me for Cape Town Marathon? Am I trialing my nutrition that I'm going to do on the event day while I am training? I have so many clients that even during Two Oceans and even with the comrades, a lot of them were underfueling. Yeah. They were not getting enough to actually get them through training sessions. And because the body is adaptive, it's so resilient, and a lot of them have been running for quite some time. Some were new to perhaps a comrades was their first, but they had been doing, you know, other marathons. Mm. And for years, they didn't realize that they were not actually getting the best out of their body because they were just not giving the recommendations for carbohydrates. So I would say if there's three things that are really important, the first thing is to look at what they are doing on a day where they're going for perhaps their LST, so their long runs, when they are doing their speed work, and then the obviously your recovery days, and afterwards what your recovery is. So the first one, fueling for the training or the running. The second one, your recovery nutrition. There are steps, which is to rehydrate, refuel with carbohydrates, and to repair with protein. And runners sometimes focus a lot on the carbs part. They sometimes struggle with the protein. And the protein is actually important to support the muscle's ability to repair.
Yeah.
So that the muscle soreness is less.
Yes.
And the last one I would say is sleep. It's something that is so often overlooked. It's something that people think, oh, you know, it's okay. But few hours of sleep, so it's been proven in studies that if a runner gets fewer than 6 hours of sleep, there are increased risk for infectious diseases, so like your flu, so your immune system takes a toll. Your recovery is slower. Your body feels sore. You just feel inflamed, tender. You just feel fatigued all the time. Because you must remember also, running is putting some stress on your body. So you have to give your body the time, the downtime needed, and quality sleep so that it can adapt to it. So it can handle those distances and the loads, you know, the total running mileage or kilometers in a week, in the weeks leading up to Cape Town Marathon. So I would say if there's anybody that is aiming to do Cape Town Marathon and you really want to do justice to yourself, it's worthwhile going to a dietitian who is registered in sport, who can go into detail about your training and your nutrition, your overall nutrition, the carb loading in the days ahead of Cape Town Marathon, and then the strategy that you'll have on Cape Town on the event day. So it's not to just pitch up to the aid stations and just eat whatever you see, potatoes, and you're just going to eat it. But you don't know the amounts. You don't know how much water you should be having and how much isotonic, which is your Powerade, Energade. You basically are winging everything. So it's worthwhile that if there's anyone that is aiming to do it, like you said, the 28th of June is 16 weeks. It's enough time to actually do it the right way. And it's the crossing over that finish line, mm-hmm. and you know you feel strong, you feel good. And that's why I love doing what I do, because I do have clients that actually say that to me, that because of my nutrition, this marathon around, I had no cramping, I had no gut issues, I felt strong. Even on the hills, I wasn't hitting a wall, and that's really important. So nutrition can really combat fatigue and delay it and make you feel better, and you want to enjoy Cape Town Marathon. So I think it's definitely, I mean, those are my recommendations.
2 weeks ago, it was Dietitians Week. So what practical steps can companies or individuals take to access reliable, evidence-based nutrition advice, especially in a world of quick-fix diets and misinformation?
When it comes to nutrition, you know, dietetics is a broad area. We work from preconception, so if there are any couples that are planning to have children, right through to, you know, geriatrics, you know, elderly individuals, and getting them to function better, to also have better overall health during geriatric stage. Nutrition is very broad. It oversees quite a large area. There is platforms like the Dietetics Association of South Africa where people can get involved with dietitians. And a lot of people think the only reason I need to go and see a dietitian is perhaps because I'm overweight and I need to lose weight. But that's not really all we do. It's a fraction of what we do. And everybody eats. So everybody needs to understand what you are putting into your body. Your body functions on what you give it. And it can actually be struggling or just surviving, or it can be thriving. And that's really where dietetics comes in. So I do think when it comes to corporate nutrition, you know, any nutrition for whichever, whether you have a diagnosis of a condition, or you just want overall well-being and guidance in a space where there's so much noise, is to go out and to seek a dietitian, especially if you're in corporate and you are an HR manager. And you really see the value behind nutrition as being a component within employee wellness to reduce workplace absenteeism, to improve workplace morale, and also to get the best out of your employees. It's very supportive. It's a very supportive approach to get a dietitian involved. And I work actually with HR managers to get nutrition into the workplace. And yeah, it really comes down to the mindset and the decision that what I'm doing right now may not be the best for me, and I want to do better for myself so that in a year from now I can look back and say, I'm so glad I did that.
So whether in a boardroom or on the sports field, high performance is mentally and physically demanding. What are some everyday foods or habits you recommend for sustained energy, focus and resilience?
When it comes to sustained energy, really number one is energy comes from your macronutrients, which are carbs, protein and fats. But the brain actually uses a large amount of carbohydrates people don't realize. So it's an estimated 130 grams of carbs in a day that the brain can use. So you can imagine if you are in a space where you are using a lot of concentration, mental ability, critical thinking, you need to give your brain what it needs for it to function and to concentrate and focus.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you probably have felt it when sometimes you enter into a work day and you just haven't had anything at all. Your energy starts dipping. So foods that help to sustain energy levels is carbohydrates primarily, which is really important for all individuals. But it should be carbohydrates that also are lower in the glycemic index, which means it just releases slowly into the body. The body digests it in a way that it's not spiking your blood sugar, so that you get a crash afterwards. And that will allow for your body to actually get a more sustained energy. But pairing a carbohydrate with protein is really important because, again, you're feeling satisfied. Mm-hmm. You are not going to just eat carbs alone and then you want to eat something else an hour later. But also fiber. So again, comes back to that low GI. A lot of low GI foods are fiber rich. And those, the fiber itself is what allows for it to be slowly released. It takes longer to digest. So fiber keeps you fuller for longer. So you don't feel this mindless craving where your energy is going up and down. Because that is actually your brain signaling to you that my energies are low. And now I'm going to release a hormone called ghrelin. It's the hunger hormone. So sometimes people might want to mindlessly eat at their desk while they're working or get themselves, especially when it's cold, get a coffee and you want to have a rusk. And then next thing you know, the calories all keep adding up. But also it's all this energy in a burst when you could be pairing it with a protein to get the best out of your body. Mm-hmm. But also, it's important that people know the power between hydration. If you are well hydrated, you actually feel less fatigued.
Yeah.
And people, especially when it's cold, right?
Yes,
like
now,
how often do you want to have cold water because it's chilly outside? So you just want to have something warmer. But then before you know it, your throat is dry. You're starting to feel dry mouth. And then it's because it's colder and, you know, people get sicker very often because they're just dehydrated. They're not taking really well care of their bodies. Excuse me. So, I would say that hydration is also really important. And I usually recommend that 30 mils to 45 mils for every kilogram you weigh. And people can calculate that. But there's a general consensus of 2 liters of fluid in a day that people can have. But really, that's really the key things, which is very simplified. You know, obviously a dietitian one-on-one can take you through so much more and get the best out of your body. But those are really simple things that people can really focus on to get the best out of their health and their performance.
Zenith, thank you for those incredible insights. From youth sports to corporate boardrooms, it's clear that nutrition isn't just a nice to have, it's a performance tool. And June offers the perfect moment to take stock of how we eat, feel, and recover. So whether you're planning your first marathon or building healthier habits at work, this conversation is a reminder that small informed changes can lead to big results. To our listeners, if you're inspired to bring nutrition into your corporate wellness plans or performance routine, this is your time. Zenith, thanks again for joining us. We hope to see you quite soon in this studio again.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Any last word to the listeners out there before you greet?
I can say that if anyone would like to book an initial consult with me, I am available online and in person, and I'm more than happy to assist through my website, and they can also reach me at www.zenithsimji.com and inquire for the services that I do offer.
Thank you very much. You must have an awesome day. It is 10 uur, so it is tyd vir jou nie.